So we're going to start something different now. We're going to do a daily news thing and try it out, see how it goes. We'll do some news in the morning, stuff that we find particularly interesting. And then we're going to, if you join us on patreon.com/truepundit, you'll get to see a video of this. So I'm shooting a video of this. Everybody out there that supports us on Patreon, you'll get to see the video, quote-unquote, podcast. And so we're trying it out. I actually had to... one of my sons stole my tripod. So I don't feel like going in his room. I feel like trying to go into Vietnam right about now in the middle of the night. So I concocted a tripod out of hockey tape and some basically Punjab sticks. It works, whatever, you know. I'm not picky, but let's get to some interesting news. One thing we picked out, and we're going to pick out some interesting stuff as time goes on here. We'll, excuse me, I'm going to have to get organized here. This is fun, right? It's the middle of the night. It's dark. If somebody comes in here in the middle of the night and bothers me, I'm going to yell at them, though. It's like, it's crazy here all the time, you know. We had a good podcast today with Bobby Kennedy Jr. and also Tim Shea. You should check that out. So this will be the news podcast. Interesting story. A headline, U.S. tried to build a new fleet of ventilators. The mission failed. 13 years ago, a group of U.S. public health officials came up with a plan to address what they regarded as one of the medical system's crucial vulnerabilities, a shortage of ventilators. The project ultimately produced zero ventilators. That failure delayed the development of an affordable ventilator by at least half a decade, depriving hospitals, states, and the federal government of the ability to stock up. The federal government started over with a company in 2014 whose ventilator was approved only last year and whose products have not yet been delivered. Focus on maximizing profits is not always consistent with the government's goal of preparing for future crisis. Whether are we seeing that now or what? I mean, come on, this is getting ridiculous, guys, right? The project, codenamed Aura, whenever they codename a project, that usually means there's going to be a problem, I found out. Came in the wake of a parade of near-miss pandemics, SARS, MERS, bird flu, and swine flu. In 2006, the Department of Health and Human Services established a new division, the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority. It's estimated that an additional 70,000 machines would be required in a moderate influenza pandemic. We're seeing that now, although people are getting put on ventilators and dying. That's something that should be pursued. Ventilators in the national stockpile were not ideal. In addition to being big and expensive, they required a lot of training to use. The ventilators were to cost less than $3,000 each. Right now, I think Ford and GM are charging the government $20,000 a ventilator. Just like anything else, if you take the time to plan, you can get things done at a very reasonable rate. Whenever you throw in the emergency factor, you're going to get clobbered over the head financially. The contract was officially awarded a few months after the H1N1 outbreak, which the CDC estimated infected 60 million and killed 12,000 in the United States, but began to taper off in 2010. That's just one thing after another. It goes on in all these stories. Just lack of planning. Interesting stuff. State Department, new story. State Department leaked cables renew theories on origin of coronavirus. I'm better talking just bullshitting than I am just reading the news. China laboratory at the center of the new theories about how the coronavirus pandemic started was a subject of multiple urgent warnings inside the U.S. State Department 2 years ago. Inadequate safety at the Wuhan Institute of Virology Lab was conducting risky research on coronavirus from bats. United Kingdom has said that the idea that the virus, which was turned into a full-blown global pandemic, was leaked from a Wuhan lab, is no longer being discounted. No shit, United Kingdom. If you read a story on True Pundit, I moved, around 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time yesterday, right before midnight. Talks about the things we talked about on the podcast. A level 3 virus moving from a level 3 U.S. lab to a level 4 lab in China. And obviously it was made in. These guys are playing it safe where they're trying to screw around here. Obviously this was made in a lab. Many Chinese believe the virus was either deliberately released or accidentally escaped from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. This lab, known for studying coronaviruses, is not far from the market that had been initially identified as the source of the outbreak. Does anybody really believe this market thing? This thing was I think that was definitely spin. Mainstream media was all over that market, that wet market thing, like a bat guy from the wet market, or they sold a lab bat in the wet market. I mean, come on. This stuff is... You have to read between the lines of a lot of stuff. You know, if you really had to, they were really able to say what I wanted to say, get probably locked up. So you got to kind of ease this stuff out. It has to be eased out, you know, because everybody's so sensitive now and you can't really tell the truth and you got to kind of ease it out. That's what we're doing. That's what we've been doing. Plus, it doesn't hurt to verify things. And I see Fox moved a story tonight that said the virus was made in a lab because the Chinese want to compete with Americans. I mean, just stop it. You're already 3 weeks behind the lab story, okay? And now you're going to talk about some nonsense. These guys are dopes over there. During interactions with scientists at the Wuhan laboratory, they noted the new lab has a serious shortage of appropriately trained technicians and investigators needed to safely operate this high containment laboratory. No, that's always good. And it says the lab had already been receiving assistance from the Galveston National Lab at the University of Texas Medical Branch. Well, that's nice. And all this stuff is very interesting. It's going to keep coming out. That's the way it works. I'm looking at the video. It's pretty dark in here. It looks kind of creepy. But that's the way it is. We'll have to tweak this as we go on. Maybe I can get a real tripod delivered here instead of using... I'm literally using a roll of hockey tape and it's like taped to a stick. That's how... This is like primitive 101, whatever. It gets the job done. And we're just messing around to see how this goes over on patreon.com/truepundit. Something nice for our folks who support us to have in the morning when they wake up, some interesting news. Here's one. Jeff Bezos gains $24 billion while the world's rich reap bailout rewards. With consumers stuck at home, my voice is shot. I've been talking all day. Excuse me. With consumers stuck at home, they're relying on Jeff Bezos' Amazon.com Incorporated more than ever. The retailer stock climbed 5.3% to a record Tuesday, lifting the founder's net worth to $138.5 billion. While the combined net worth of the world's 500 richest people has dropped $553 billion, this year. It has surged 20% from its low on March 23rd. That means rich people are buying things, stocks, and companies at a fire sale. The wealth gap, it's only going to get wider and with what's going on. Carnival Corp board member Randall Weisenberger bought $10 million of stock in the beleaguered cruise line operator last week. The shares have jumped 56% since the purchase. My stocks never jump 56%. They go 56% the other way, right down to tubes. Ultra-wealthy clients ramp up borrowing to place more wagers in what they see as a cheap market, like I just said, loans backed by real estate to help them repay other debt, invest in businesses, and snap up other assets. Leading that group is Bezos, who has added almost $24 billion to his fortune in 2020, as well as Mackenzie Bezos, who is left with a 4% stake in Amazon as part of the couple's recent divorce settlement. Who is this guy's lawyer? How do you get divorced and she gets a 4% of Amazon? That's all she got? 4%? Where's Jackie Childs when you need him? It's unbelievable. Her net worth has climbed $8.2 billion to $45.3 billion, and she's now, okay, number 18 on the Bloomberg. Well, I guess it's not so bad, you know what I mean? It's not. Oh, boy. Let's look at some other people who have cashed in, right? Walmart. Alice, Jim, and Rob Walton now have a combined net worth of $169 billion, up 5% since the start of the year. Elon Musk has added $10.4 billion this year. The fortune of Zoom Video Communications founder Eric Yuan has more than doubled to $7.4 billion. The rich just keep getting richer, baby. That's what we talk about all the time. Don't we talk about that all the time? All the time. We're down here scraping for nickels and the rich are getting richer. I'm in the dark reading the news and these guys are cashing in and you guys are hopefully tucked in your beds and you're enjoying a cordial or whatever. It's 1:18 in the morning right now. It's 1:18 in the morning right now on the East Coast. It's more like a radio voice. It's 1:18 in the morning now on the East Coast. I hope you guys are either chilling out or sleeping or getting some rest or having a couple cocktails and trying to relax and figure out how we're going to put our lives back together with duct tape and a dream. These guys are cashing in. Okay. Headline, Wall Street feasts on federal coronavirus aid while Main Street starves. Now, I talked about this. If you follow me, you know this. It's got to be a month old when I said this was going to happen. And people, these rookies on Twitter, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. These people who have good followings, but you don't know who they are. They have like nicknames and pseudonyms. Don't know who these people are. They could be maniacs for all you know. You don't know what you're talking about, Payne. Fake, wrong. Really? Looks pretty bad right now if you're trying to get a loan and you're trying to get coronavirus aid. There, you're not getting any. I talked to people, and we'll have some people, I think, on next week. Real Americans, right? They're not getting their stuff. They applied for loans. They haven't heard anything. Imagine owning a business and you apply for these loans, you don't hear anything. It's maddening. Okay. The gains in equity prices are more of an indication of the uneven stimulus methods employed by the feds. These measures will almost certainly benefit Wall Street and market speculation, even as their impact on Main Street will be slow to come. Wall Street traders will make money while Main Street businesses face economic conditions not seen since the Great Depression. That's true, and I said that was coming. I'm not looking for a trophy. We got folks on Patreon and other guys on the podcast who took my advice and scrambled to secure funding before this coronavirus, quote unquote, funding round, which was complete mayhem, piss poor managed, and everything else, just like you would expect a government operation. The Federal Reserve is pumping an estimated $10 trillion in liquidity into the financial system. That's Wall Street money. That's not money for you. Fed's new program has even allowed it to buy up mortgage-backed securities pegged to strip malls that were teetering before the pandemic hit. Small biz loans were supposed to begin two Fridays ago. I put my glasses down to look so I could see up the camera without a glare. And now I can't read a damn thing. Let me put my glasses back. I'm like blind as a bat. Staring at these computer screens all day. I'm like Mr. Magoo in here. Small biz loans were supposed to begin two Fridays ago, yet the money was slow in coming because of the confusion. And we just talked about the confusion, right? We talked about that on how to administer the program. Thousands of small businesses applied, but many were turned away, even though they operated thriving companies. Yeah, if you're making a couple million dollars, you're having a problem getting money. That's a very bad sign. And the feds are saying, hey, if you're applying for loans, you're out of luck because, yeah, you could have million-dollar companies, but we had a $2 million cap on these loans, and now it's like 15 grand. Let me tell you something. If you got companies and you got payroll worth millions of dollars, 15 grand is like a joke. Let's look at the numbers. More than a million loan applications have been approved, totaling $257 billion. Here's the problem. The cash hasn't been delivered. Where's the money? The banks have the money. They already got the money from the Fed. I worked at Citi for almost 10 years. I know how these suckers work, baby. The banks are sitting on that money. They are going to make as much money as they can on the float. They're going to be stingy giving it out. And I've said this for weeks. It's frustrating as a journalist and amateur soothsayer when you call things time and time again and you don't have a big enough platform for it to make a massive difference. People would listen and be able to jockey and position themselves better. It's frustrating that you have this knowledge and you can't get it out to people. That's why we're doing these other things to try to grow the platform. Wall Street fears that given the manifestly unjust disparities now, the country could soon see social unrest not seen since the 1930s. You think so? Geez, you took everybody's business, their money, their savings, any money or any traction most people made in the market has dissipated. Now they say it's coming back. It's smoke and mirrors, guys. These unemployment numbers and the Dow Jones goes up every day. I'm banging my head against the wall. You talk about fake news. That's fake finance. You're shooting up to 20 million people on an unemployment and the stock market's going up? Okay. Here's probably one of the more important nuggets that we picked out for this first. I guess we're going to call this pain in the morning. I don't know. Morning pain. So we can differentiate it from our podcast, Pain in the Morning. I've been hearing that for a while around here. Yeah. Well, when you're married that long, that's what happens. Okay. Food supply worries grow after outbreak closes Smithfield meat plant. worries that if more plants close, American consumers could be hit by shortages. In order for the industry to continue manufacturing, we must have access to personal protective equipment, PPE, necessary for our employees to do their jobs, or there's a potential that facilities will be shut down. So no PPE equals no meat and no pork. That's what we're seeing. It's a good thing that our friends in the State Department, USAID, and Pompeo, who looks like an Alabama tick. I think it's time for him to slim down. If you see these Washington guys doing this situation, like Barr and Pompeo, if they don't drop 100 pounds and they're not missing meals and rationing meals like the rest of us, you know this was a big scheme. Who the hell can blow up like an Alabama tick when you're rationing food like every American is? I'm getting a little grouchy, too. It's time to lose weight, boys. That can't be healthy. All that stress and all that weight. And all that booze. They're down there sucking down booze. You can believe that. I've been there. I've seen it. Smithfield said on Sunday that it would close its Sioux Falls, South Dakota pork processing facility until further notice. Smithfield is the world's biggest pork processor, and the closed plant accounts for up to 5% of U.S. pork production. That's a lot of pork. I could probably work in a Bill Clinton joke there, but we'll pass. Other meat processors like Tyson's Food, Cargill, and JBS have also closed some plants. And more facilities could shutter if workers are found sick. Guys, what does this mean for you? If you have the opportunity to get out and get some meat, if you don't have any meat in your freezer or your pantry, this is a good time to maybe get some meat before it becomes complete chaos out there and you have to eat something that was grown on a lily pad, like some kind of tree hugger. Foodborne exposure to the virus is not known to be the root of transmission, the FDA said. The virus is thought to spread mainly from person to person. I wouldn't take anything the FDA says. Oh, boy, those guys. The biggest risk of buying a Smithfield ham is going to the grocery store and getting that ham. More than half of South Dakota's coronavirus cases are from the 238 Smithfield employees, according to the governor. Kristi Noem, you've seen her around. She's a Republican. Debbie Berkowitz from the meat plant said, "You're asked to wear a mask and social distance when you're outside of the workplace, but when you're in the workplace, the employees can require you to employers can require you to work shoulder to shoulder with other workers and pile into break rooms." Another guy said, who's this guy? Progressive group Derek Martin, director of Applied Progress. "If President Trump wants to keep our food supply safe, he should order his Labor Department to mandate the essential companies provide PPE and support social distancing. This will help keep plants from closing and give some of the hardest working Americans the protection they need." National Pork Producers Council said the pork industry has already been decimated due to plant shutdowns, restaurant closures, and labor shortage made worse by the pandemic, and hog farmers going out of business as hog values plummet. It's all fun and games until they take your bacon away. You can take our civil liberties away. You can take our religious freedoms away. Don't mess with my bacon. That was a joke. Everybody calm down. It's going to be okay. We hope. Smithfield CEO Ken Sullivan, "These facilities closures will also have severe, perhaps disastrous repercussions for many of the supply chain. First and foremost, our nation's livestock farmers. People who are throttling our economy have no idea how brittle the food supply chain is, and they have broken it," tweeted Representative Congressman Thomas Massie. Okay, where are we at? 25 minutes. Not bad. We're ripping through this. So I want to do 25 minutes to a half an hour. This is good. This is pathetic, this next one. The inclusion of 3,700 presumed deaths from coronavirus, okay, in New York. New York City adds thousands of COVID-19 deaths of people who never even tested for the virus. What the hell? Probable cases are deaths of people at nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and private homes who never received a test but are likely to have died from coronavirus in the last month. New York Health Commissioner Oxyris Barbeau. Oxyris? That sounds like something you find in the vegetable aisle. Make sure you get me some Oxyris. It's right next to the garlic and broccoli rabe. I'm not kidding. For a long time, I thought broccoli rabe was a dude. That's one of those things. We're focused on ensuring that every New Yorker who died because of COVID-19 gets counted. Yeah, so you can cash the F in, scumbags. We are more than happy to report on probables. So they took 3,700 people that had died, not necessarily from COVID-19, and they just threw them on the death toll. Look at this fool. New York City council member, Brad Lander. That's a guy who got his ass whipped in school. Brad Lander's in the principal's office again. He has another black eye. He lost another tooth. Brad's having a tough time. New York City council member Brad Lander reasoned in a Twitter thread regarding the new numbers that, quote, people with higher incomes are more likely to get tests, more likely to go to hospitals, less likely to die in their homes, he added. Quote, people are dying from non-COVID causes like heart attacks, kidney failure, and they might have been saved from, that they might have been saved from if our hospitals weren't overwhelmed. What is this guy even talking about? No wonder he got his ass kicked in school. So COVID is now the cause of death for people who died in New York from something else because they should have had the care and they wouldn't have died if it wasn't for COVID. This is some bird brain stuff. We got some other stuff. Let's see. So much for HIPAA that's supposed to protect you. Judge forces McHenry County, Illinois Health Department to provide names of all COVID-19 patients to police. Wow. What happened to HIPAA? There's going to be a lot of lawsuits after these dummies, after the smoke clears and these dummies find out that they were way out of control. Last thing, this is interesting. Study, coronavirus fatality rate lower than expected, close to the flu's 0.1%. The fatal and highly contagious novel coronavirus has spread faster but is less deadly than official data imply. If millions of people were infected weeks ago without dying, the virus must be less deadly than official data suggests. I don't think anybody would argue with that at this point. Those models they used, those weren't Sports Illustrated models. Let's just put it that way. I don't know what runway those models are on, but I don't want to see them again. COVID-19 takes 20 to 25 days to kill victims. The Silverman and Washburn paper reckons that 7 millimeter. See, Here's the 7 million Americans were infected from March 8th to the 14th, and official data shows 7,000 deaths 3 weeks later. The resulting fatality rate is 0.1%, similar to that of the flu. That's, folks, let's just do some quick math. And I'm no math genius, but that's 1/10 of some of the estimates on the models from these dopes in the White House. Fauci the ferret, Burks the criminal, and Redfield, the fraudster who runs the CDC. 1/10. It's probably less than that. It's probably less than that. Really. Because the virus is so contagious that it has crammed the equivalent of a year's worth of flu cases into a week or two. Okay, so that makes sense. The study estimated that the coronavirus death rate could be as low as 0.66%, which is way, way lower than Fauci the ferret's estimates. So we covered some news here, and if you want to see the video of this, I'm looking over here. I hope the video comes out. Go to True Pundit. No, that's wrong. See, this is the end of the day for me. So I'm in bird brain mode and I can't have any caffeine because I'll be up all night. And I was up all night last night working through the night. It's funny, I have to work through the night. Then right before my wife gets up, I have to pretend like I'm sleeping on like the couch or something. And then she comes down and says, "Hey, are you getting up?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah," because she gets mad at me when I stay up all night and I work. Because she thinks I'm going to, like, you know, keel over. But I've been doing that since I was a young guy. You get on a roll, I get in a zone, I just work. Sometimes, you know, you're in for 36 hours, 27 hours, you just go. I just go. So we have a small crew here, and it's busy, busy, busy lately. And we want to try to grow this, and we're doing more things like this. So let's do this again. If you want to support us and check out this podcast on video, it's Patreon, patreon.com/truepundit. And I hope the video comes out and we don't have any technical glitches, or I will be up all night and I'll have to pretend when you see the daylight creeping through the window, you know, it's time to maybe shut it down and stuff. But, take care out there, folks. God bless. And we'll do another one of these, I think, on Friday. And then I think we're going to try to do these Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then we'll call it like pain in the morning. I guess we'll start out. We'll see how that goes. And then we will do the regular podcast. It's really doing well. I mean, I'm very happy with it, on Wednesday mornings again. Stick with More Pain Tuesday night on Patreon as well. So this stuff is supplemental to Patreon. We'll see how it goes, folks. And take care and God bless.